Have you got anything else that you'd like to shove in your mouth before we start?
It's funny you should say that. Prefer my banana.
It's gone downhill very quickly, hasn't it?
I've got some corn on the cob, if you want.
Yeah, please. Excellent, fantastic. If you could just grab a selection of food over the next 20, 30 minutes and just engulf it, that would make for different content to what I had in mind.
I'm just going to open my can of Coke before we really get going.
Fantastic. Excellent. Wow.
I'm good now.
Cool. Fantastic. So, obviously, I'll trim. Actually, I won't edit that bit out at all. In fact, I'll make sure it comes with the video link so people can see what I'm having to deal with. So, today, I'm joined by Di, who's a very noisy and loud personal trainer. Di, we're going to go down the route of Cilla Black, and I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. So, in the space of 60 seconds, what's your name and where'd you come from?
My name is Di. I come from Swansea, but I now live in Bristol and I do some personal training.
Cool, right. That's it. That's your elevator pitch.
Pretty much, yeah.
You and James are far too humble. I feel like you need to big yourselves up a little bit more. What are some of your greatest accomplishments?
I don't know that I have any. I'm really good at making coffee. And my kids are really cool.
Your kids are really cool. Okay, cool, fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned them. Really, if you just ended on the coffee, that could have been a bit of an awkward moment. I feel like it's good that you brought that up.
Yeah,
your most redeeming the most redeeming quality you have is not you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Fantastic. Cool. So we'll jump straight in because I know that obviously you're a very busy person, which actually is why I wanted to speak to you today. So with these podcasts, I like to get people on that have experience or cool insights into certain areas of training, fitness, diet, whatever it might be, and pick their brains about that particular sort of area. And you are, I think it's fair to say, quite a busy person. Obviously, you've got a young family, you've got an in-person personal training business, you've got an online coaching business. I'd say busy. You have enough time to go through the lengthy process of brewing coffee in very particular methods. So mostly busy, but you've also got time to, please tell everyone what the half plunge method is.
So the half plunge method, which one of the half plunge methods? The one to do with coffee, I assume. So the half plunge method that Aaron would like me to talk about is essentially a way of brewing coffee in a French press or a cafetiere that just stops the final plunge from dissipating all the sediment back up into the coffee. So you just let it stand for 5 minutes after you pour your coffee to actually brew, give it a good stir, and then let gravity help all the sediment to settle down. And then you just put the filter in, just like tip first, just so it doesn't, what's it called? Like disturb the sediment, and then you carefully pour your coffee through the filter. So you get a much cleaner, crisper cup of coffee.
So Di is on here because he's a very busy person, but he also manages to make pouring a cup of coffee last half an hour.
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Cool, fantastic, fantastic. So what I would really like to speak to you about is fitting in training and adjustments people can make if, like yourself, they find themselves very busy. So, you know, training, getting the gym is, you know, a bit of a luxury, and a lot of people don't have the time to do the sort of training sessions that they might see from influencers and professional athletes online. And sometimes I get the impression that people can feel like if they're not doing 5-6 hour long sessions a week, then they're not doing enough. And obviously you and I know that that's not necessarily the case. As someone who finds themselves busy and sometimes lacking as much sleep as they might like, what would be just some really, really general key considerations you would recommend to others when it comes to their training?
Gosh.
How's that? That's fairly open, fairly open. You go, we'll see where we go with this.
No, it's good because you're right. I am fairly busy and don't have as much time as I would like to train with, but I still find myself in the unique position of being in a gym every day. So the approach I take myself isn't the same approach I take with a lot of clients who have less time. But I guess like everyone has like their own individual circumstances. So there's like two different routes you can go. One where you do less sessions and you really make sure that the sessions you do are as good quality and you get as much work done in the session as you can. And then what I tend to do with myself is, because I happen to find myself at the gym most days, is I focus on like getting something done when I'm there and when I can. So my sessions might only be half hour, but I tend to train a little bit more often than maybe some of my clients do, just because I have the luxury of actually being at the gym. So when I finish coaching in the morning, I just do a session. But they're not the like 90 minute sessions I would do 5 or 6 days a week, you know, 2.5 years ago. And then what I have a lot of clients do, and what probably would work more better for other people, is just not putting the same pressure on yourself to do as many sessions and saying, like, I'm only going to do my 2, my 3 gym sessions a week, but making sure that you've got some structure around those sessions. So when you do go in, you like can just go in and attack them with a good bit of focus. And that's probably something, actually, I think I probably picked up from you, or like keep you hammer home a lot in your content, is that when a lot of your other circumstances aren't like optimal, you probably want to, the one variable you can control is your intensity in a workout and like in each set. So attacking the sets that you do with a good bit of gusto is probably a good idea.
Cool. So 2 or 3 sessions a week for a lot of people is enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd even say, what I used to do is say, if ever you're doing less than 4 sessions a week, you've got to train full body every session. And I've found for a lot of people when they're really busy, that full body sessions tend to just be a little bit much noise, like you're switching from thing to thing to thing throughout the session. So now I tend to have people do like an upper body session, a lower body session, which are really quite concise, and they can just focus really hard on like smashing their upper body or their quads and their hamstrings in their lower body, and then have a sort of floating day that can either be some easy cardio, some like hard condition if they like it, or just a bit of fluff work. And I found anecdotally that people, as long as they're attacking those sessions with a good bit of focus, they know what numbers they need to hit, they know what they did last week, so they can focus on beating it, they can see plenty of progress on like one upper body and one lower body session a week.
Cool. Yeah. It's fine, actually, that answers I was going to ask you about, you know, if people only have the time to do 2 or 3 sessions a week, general programming advice for that. So you've sort of covered that. Are there some things that you think people should be steering clear of, or on the other side of things that they should be prioritizing? So, you know, if they go into a gym like Sweatbox, for instance, where you train, you've got a lot of kit. You've got, yeah, you've got machines, you've got cables, you've got barbells, you've got loads of different stuff, dumbbells and all those odds and ends. Are there some things, if someone is limited on time, they're only doing 2 or 3 sessions a week, is it wise to prioritize certain things over others? What would your suggestion be there?
Yes, absolutely wise to prioritize certain things. Again, it kind of depends like how comfortable you are in the gym and what your level of experience is, because I would want people, like if I'm talking to you or me, then are you still there? Yeah. If I was talking to you or me, then I would like want people doing lifts that they're comfortable with. Like you and me are fairly comfortable with pretty much all big forms of lifting. So I can just tell you to squat and you can go and squat really hard. If someone was newer to the gym and they weren't so comfortable with like barbell exercises or squatting, I probably wouldn't waste the time with them initially getting them to learn to squat. I'd say, look, if they've got a leg press or a hack squat at your gym, you're probably going to be better off going to a machine, because you can just channel all of your effort into the effort of the set rather than on learning how to squat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry for that little interruption. And the sound quality might have changed. I've just jumped into the office. The other personal trainer in the gym has jumped in, so we're about to shift things up. There's probably a bit of an echo there. Okay, cool. No, absolutely. I think it's just helpful because I think a lot of times, and you probably have found this as well, people can get a bit overwhelmed in the sense of they're like, well, I've got a limited amount of time, but there's so much I want to do or feel like I should do. So they probably don't need to do five different variations of bicep curls if they're only training twice a week. Would that be?
Yeah. It's like, and you say something like exercise selection, I think, when you have limited time, is both not that important and, in a different way, very, very important.
Well, that's clears that up then, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter what exercises you do as long as they meet certain criteria. So as long as you're comfortable with them, so you can actually focus on just bringing the noise. That's a... really putting some effort into it. Like, I don't want if you've got limited time, I don't want you wasting like your first few sets of an exercise getting comfortable, figuring out if your feet are the right width or anything like that. I want you to be able to walk in, chuck some weight on the bar and get to work straight away.
Okay.
So as long as you can do that and you can find a way to add load to that exercise over time. So most big compound movements you're going to be able to easily load over time. But like you said, probably cable tricep extensions aren't necessarily something you're going to be able to minutely load over time. So you're probably better off doing a few extra sets of bench press than you are doing those.
Okay, cool. And I guess on that subject then, unless someone has a specific goal in mind. So obviously if someone wants to be the best barbell back squatter they can be, they're obviously going to do some barbell back squats. Taking that person out of the equation then, you're suggesting that they don't overly worry too much about the exact exercise they're doing, so long as it's one they can get on with as soon as possible. Would that be?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. So
if someone,
you go.
So if someone feels like they need to spend 10 or 15 minutes warming up and working up to a heavy set on back squats, would you say that if they're only training twice a week anyway, that and they've only got an hour each time, would you encourage them to perhaps try another exercise?
Yeah, I would. Enjoyment obviously plays a role as well, and some people just want to learn to back squat and deadlift or whatever, which is absolutely fine, and that is obviously a huge part of why you train and what's going to keep you motivated. But if they don't particularly want to do that, then yeah, I'd probably say they're better off doing anything. We might work through a few different options until we find something that really clicks for them. But yeah.
And obviously if they're working with a coach, if they're working with you, that obviously gets taken care of. If they're just going in by themselves, what are some good indicators that they found the quote unquote right exercise in that scenario?
So I tend to work through a checklist with people, and like one of the first things is, you know, are you comfortable doing it? So some people just click with like a split squat. Other people, they just don't feel comfortable with it at all. So I just say, like, most people will know within a week or two of doing an exercise if it's going to be something that they can then get on with pretty quickly. So I mean, it's a hard one to quantify, but I think if you've been trying to do something for 2 or 3 weeks and it's really just feels awkward, you can't put any weight on it, you can't see it going anywhere, probably a fairly good idea that it's not going to work.
Cool. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's a difficult question, obviously, because it'll be mostly down to feelings, which we can't really quantify, but I just wanted to pick your brains on that. People are limited on time. People are limited on training frequency. Talk to me about warm-ups.
So I mean, I don't warm up, at least in the traditional way. Almost all of the time I start my sessions, I go and do the first movement I'm going to do, and I just do it with an empty bar for a couple of sets and do a few extra warm-up sets. I have some clients come in, and I don't work through a specific warm-up with anyone, but some clients come in and they just seem to have a better session if we do a couple of minutes on the air bike to get them moving, and then if we're squatting, we'll do some goblet squats, and like they'll just have a little bit of a wriggle around in the bottom of a squat position and they feel better. And I'm sure that's probably all psychological, but if it works for them, it takes 3 minutes of our time out of the session, then it's a great idea. If a warm-up is taking you more than 5 minutes, and you feel like you can't do your session without it, I would start trying to work with people to see if we can move them away from a warm-up that is that restrictive, personally.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. Again, I'm not trying to catch you out. I think, so you don't think that there's necessarily an app, you don't think a lengthy warm-up is absolutely compulsory for all people?
Absolutely not, no.
Absolutely not. It's absolutely not absolutely compulsory.
Absolutely necessary.
Well, 80% of the time it's compulsory every time. I was just wondering. Again, it's just one of those things. I know that there is concern from some people that if they don't warm up, they might end up getting hurt. You don't think there's any merit to that?
I mean, I am not a scientist and I'm not very good at reading research. There are people I trust to disseminate information, and like, as far as I'm aware, the vast bulk of the evidence says that warm-ups do not actually help prevent injury, at least not in a general population going to the gym setting. Maybe if you're doing sprinting or like something like that.
Yeah, but if someone's running, if someone's running 100 meters in sub 11 seconds,
yeah,
they're probably going to go through a process to get prepared for that. But for the rest of us who run 100 meters in sub 20 seconds, we'll probably be okay. Okay, cool. No, again, I was just wondering, because I know that these sort of things come up, and you know what we're trying to sort of, the key takeaways I want to get from today is how people can go about their training during the week and in their specific workouts in a time efficient, in the most effective manner possible. And so if warming up for 10, 15, if they're warming up for 10 or 15 minutes, they've only got an hour to train, we can potentially ideally get away from that.
I mean, also, I guess it kind of ties back a little bit potentially to picking your main exercises. If your main exercises are something like you feel like you really need an extended warm up to be able to then go and do your main exercise, yeah, I'd say potentially your exercise selection is off, because if you're needing to really get yourself prepped to be able to force yourself into those positions, I personally would probably just give people a different exercise that they don't need that extensive warm up to go and do.
Yeah, cool. No, absolutely. Perfect. Absolutely fine. What I also would like to ask you about, I suppose, is you are someone who doesn't just do strength training. So you also do a fair amount of running, sometimes slightly more, sometimes slightly less. So all of a sudden, we've got someone who is very busy, limited with time, trying to get in their strength training. And on top of that, you're trying to get in some conditioning work. So for you, that's some running, but for someone else, it might be cycling. It might be doing, you know, some interval work at the gym. Again, once we factor those two different elements of training in, are there some key considerations, things that people should be prioritizing if they want to, you know, spend time during the week doing both? I've got to stop shaking my hands around like this, haven't I? But they obviously don't have like 7 sessions a week that they can get to.
Yes, there are. I hate saying it depends, because it really does depend on like people's schedule, what they've done before. Running is sort of, I think, kind of unique, because while it's easy to go and do, if you haven't run a lot in the past, there are like, it just takes a little bit longer to expose yourself to running, I think, because of like, just the amount of stress there is on your joints when you do it. I think running is one of the best things people can learn to do. I am quite biased in that I probably do try and push people towards being able to go for a run, because I think it is such a, like, it gives you so much freedom if you can just go and do a run, even if it's a 20, 30 minute easy run. I think that's a great skill to have in your back pocket for days when you're particularly busy, but you want to go and do something. But that being said, if you haven't done much running before, sometimes you have to approach it from the point of view of learning it as a skill. So it isn't that easy to just go and do. In terms of like other conditioning though, you obviously got like bikes, rowers, skiers, whatever different pieces of kit your gym's got. And it kind of depends how much of a priority you want to give towards endurance training. I am very biased and I enjoy doing like low intensity cardio. I don't understand people that get bored sitting on a bike for an hour, because I love sitting on a bike for an hour listening to an audiobook or watching Netflix. I don't understand why you would find that boring. But obviously some people much prefer higher intensity stuff. I'm going to ramble here if you don't give me some blinkers.
No, this is good. This is good.
Because I used to, like maybe a year, 2 years ago, I would say that people had to accumulate a certain volume of, like, call it zone two or just easy cardio work. Sort of almost like before they earned the right to do high intensity stuff, which I now think is probably just not true. Because I think a lot of the like the 80-20 rule, doing lots of easy with only some hard, is probably a really good idea if you're quite a good athlete and you want to progress. You probably do need to do a lot more lower intensity stuff. But if you're not there yet, you probably don't have the same demands on your recovery from training. So you probably can just do more high intensity stuff if you enjoy it. I still think it should probably be a bit more structured than a lot of people just go in and just like sort of smash stuff. But I mean, I'm a geek and I know you're the same in that I love numbers. I need to know what numbers I'm going to hit on a rower or an assault bike or something like that. So I like structured high intensity stuff. So I might test my 100 calories for time on the air bike and then use the numbers I get from that to plan a short-term 6-week program.
Yeah. Okay. No, cool. If people are wanting to, I'm doing my shake my hands again. If people are wanting to do both and they're limited on time, do you think it's worth combining, you know, traditional strength resistance training with some sort of conditioning cardio, or do you tend to keep them separate?
I much prefer keeping them separate as a general rule.
I just
you can just devote more focus to each part. I will write, and I hate calling them finishers. I think finishers just, but by dint of the fact they're called finishers, end up not being done with the same amount of focus as I would like them done. So like I said, for most people, having if you've got 3 days a week doing an upper body day, a lower body day, and then a sort of optional floating day, and if you want to do some conditioning, putting in a really good focused 40 to 60 minute conditioning session, that's going to be a really potent stimulus for most people, as opposed to tacking on 10 to 15 minutes, if that, of lackluster intervals.
Okay. And if someone is in a position where they, I know like you and I quite enjoy doing cardio of different sorts. If someone kind of isn't super motivated, isn't super buzzing about going for a run, doing some cycling, doing some intervals, do you have some ways where you feel like you can dial up that motivation, get them a bit more enthusiastic? You know, I think you touched on it a little bit. What are some things that people could maybe put into their own training that might get them a bit more enthusiastic about doing some conditioning?
Well, I think like for me and for most people, one of the things that is most intrinsically motivating is being able to see yourself progress. So I sort of like think that is one of the key roles when you're coaching someone, that's like what a coach does, is give people ways to actually see that progress over time. Because most people, if they go to the gym and do some work, actually will progress, but they don't, it's hard to see that sometimes. So giving people a clear way that they can quantify that is great. So essentially, pick something, and it can be literally anything,
yeah,
and then train specifically for that and retest it in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is. So, you know, things that like you and me have done in the past, is like little challenges, like 2K rows are great, 10 minutes for max distance on a assault bike, anything, like a 10K biker can literally be anything like that. We'll give you some cold hard numbers, and then you can just like retry that in 6 weeks. If you've trained really well for it, you should take off a decent chunk of time, and that then becomes inherently motivating. You start enjoying things that you are becoming better at and you can see progress on.
If people feel like they are, you, I guess what I should ask is, are you fairly insistent that people should do a mix of conditioning based work? Like if someone really loves low intensity, long duration stuff and really cannot stomach the idea of doing high intensity interval work, you know, like sprints, stuff like that, or vice versa, Are you fairly insistent that people should have a mix, or do you think that it's, you know, it's absolutely fine just to do one? Assuming that this person, you know, they're not getting ready for a particular event, so they're not worried about being the fittest version of themselves. They want to do some conditioning. They just really like one form. Do they need to do a mix? What would be your stance on that?
So, like you said, assuming we're talking about, you know, an average person who doesn't have any particular goals with their conditioning, like long-term goals, I don't think, if someone only did low intensity conditioning, for the most part, I'd be fairly happy with that, because I think you're getting almost all of the health benefits that you need to get from conditioning. You'll get from just doing like some actual low intensity conditioning. If someone was really, really just into high intensity stuff, I probably would try and steer them towards doing some low intensity stuff, mainly because for them, like, they probably enjoy doing high intensity stuff because they like, they feel good doing it. But they won't, like, I think it's easy to improve something when you're doing it hard for a few weeks. It's not easy to improve it for a few months, because you just run into a brick wall. You need to sort of like build that base of the pyramid then to build the pyramid higher. So if someone was just doing higher intensity stuff, I probably would try and shoehorn in some easy stuff for them.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. I guess the question that people really want me to ask you, obviously you are a very experienced coach, personal trainer, very enthusiastic about coffee, but we'll put that to one side for the time. Very enthusiastic about training. But I think people also know that you are a bit of a nerd as well. So if you were being really critical, what would you say if you were weighing up strength, conditioning, mobility, all that sort of stuff, what would you say held back certain members of the Fellowship of the Ring in terms of their physical performance, and where could they make progress? So let's just jump in and let's take someone like Gimli, for instance. If Gimli approached you and he wanted to be the most well-rounded athlete, you know,
yeah,
could be, where would you start with someone like Gimli?
I mean, he's probably the strongest member of the Fellowship. I don't think you probably see many arguments there. You go into a powerlifting comp, you're not putting anyone else on the platform apart from Gimli, are you? Claims he can sprint pretty well as well. Don't think he ever really demonstrates it, right, but let's take him at his word. He's a dwarf. He's all about honor. So yeah, let's assume he's got some good low down speed as well. His probably his weakest area, which he admits openly, is his endurance, his long distance like endurance. So probably getting Gimli some time on his feet. Maybe if we can get him to add in a weekend long run to accumulate some mileage in his legs.
Yeah.
Just so he doesn't embarrass himself in front of Legolas would probably be my go-to.
And you wouldn't stop him from doing any more strength training? You wouldn't say like, right, no more strength training for you, we're just running? Would you have a mix of the two?
I mean, it depends what he, I'd probably still give him a mix of it. He probably enjoys being good at, yeah, strength training. It does, yeah, depend, because I think he's plenty strong enough. He can go toe-to-toe with our berserkers. So
yeah,
I don't think there's probably not a lot left on the table that he's going to get by doing more strength training.
Yeah.
So I probably would put it as close to just like a maintenance dose as possible.
Yeah.
So he can focus as much time on building that endurance up and putting in some good axe work as well. He's still got to keep the skills necessary for his job.
And then on the flip side, Legolas approaches you. He's obviously fast. He's pretty light on his feet. Very quick, obviously good endurance. He's actually looking to put on some muscle. Yeah. He's like, I watch back the Hobbit series where he plays a part and the three, you know, main films of Lord of the Rings. And he was like, I look good, but I feel like I'd like to, you know, develop my upper body muscles a little bit. But at the same time, I don't want to, you know, slow down. What are some key things that he should take into consideration to sort of bulk up a little bit, but without becoming Gimli?
I mean, I'd probably look at Legolas's nutrition above anything. Right. You don't really see him eating much apart from Lembas bread. So I don't know what Lembas bread is like, but I'm going to say it's probably quite carb heavy and probably doesn't have like much protein in it at all. So I'd probably be looking to see if he's getting enough calories and enough protein in overall. And then just make sure that he's actually, when he's training his upper body, that he's really, you know, putting in enough intensity. He's hitting some pretty tough sets across the week.
Right.
Because I have a feeling he's like a little bit arrogant. He's a bit of a show off. Maybe he's not going into the gym and actually pushing himself as hard as he should do. Maybe he doesn't want the team to fail or like to be cracked or something. So I think I'd, you know, go legless. If you really want to put on some size here, mate, we're going to, you know, you've got to be the newcomer. You've got to put some groundwork in there.
Right. But also, so diet is going to feature heavily then. We've got to make sure that he's fueling himself appropriately to build a muscle. Do you feel like he sort of undereats a little bit?
I'd say so, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Looking at him, yeah.
Yeah, even if it's just subconsciously, I suppose. Yeah. Cool, fantastic.
He's very pretty, isn't he? He's probably very vain. He's grown up, used to being very, very lean.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a bit of a mindset shift now to get him, you know, to pile on the pounds.
I see. At the other end of the spectrum, you get a random client come in for consultation. Mm. You know, you're sitting in the office. The door opens. And in ducks a cave troll. You know, they've been slumbering in the mines of Moria for a little bit. They're carrying a few extra pounds around the midsection, which, you know, they're not unhappy about, but, you know, someone's around the corner and they feel like they want to, you know, lose a little bit. They're not fussed. They're not worried about a six pack. They're not worried about a photo shoot or stepping on a bodybuilding stage. They just want to lean up a little bit. What's the first thing you're going to talk to them about?
So I'm always quite keen when people come in with like fat loss or body composition goals to steer it away from being the main focus of what we're doing as soon as possible. But the focus on performance. And then we talk about some really basic nutritional skills and habits to start like almost doing the fat loss thing in the background, and really, really focus their efforts hard on training is always where I tend to go.
Yeah.
Because like fat loss can be quite a slow process. So going out of the gates and going like, this is what we're doing. Come on, have you lost weight? I think just like sets people up for just to be disappointed, really. Yeah. It's not that we can't do that at all, but I very quickly try and shift them away from it.
Okay.
I'd focus more on, you know, their training than anything. How many goblins can you like swing around your head in one go? That kind of thing. Stuff that they're going to really enjoy. Yeah. And then say, you know, are you, you know, let's just see if you're eating protein at breakfast and maybe focus on that as our first skill on the nutrition sort of stuff.
Cool. No, excellent. Fine. I think it's probably a bounce way of doing it. I imagine as well, given their lack of exposure to sunlight, cave trolls can potentially be a little bit emotionally volatile. And obviously their circadian rhythm is going to be all over the place. They're not going to necessarily be the happiest, most bubbliest of trolls. Obviously you don't find many happy bubbly trolls at all. It's just interesting. Look, we have run close to 40 minutes. I'm not sure if my Zoom upgraded to the normal plan, so it could cut off any second. I feel like we've covered some good topics. Obviously we've talked about the half plunge method and how you're a very, 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 very busy person. But have time to spend half an hour making a cup of coffee. Some real key takeaways in terms of getting training done, not faffing around, what movements and exercise to prioritize, how to balance potentially conditioning work with strength training. And obviously we've gone into some specific case studies with completely real people that you're likely to encounter. So I really, really appreciate that. Where can people find you?
They can find me on the Instagram at die_trying.
How do you spell die?
D-A-I.
And how do you spell trying?
The same way I'd hope it. T-R-Y-I-N-G.
All lowercase?
All lowercase.
I don't think it matters anyway.
Or trying.
Cool. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I appreciate your time, Di. I will let you shoot off because if I forgot to upgrade to the premium plan, then this is going to cut off any second anyway. Thanks for joining me and sharing your knowledge and wisdom on this full. And I'll speak to you soon.
You're very welcome. Goodbye.